Eric and I spur each other on. He's giving me pointers on God's word and delivering the world. You know, the Bible says, "As iron sharpens iron," and I do the same. You know, I encourage him, and so tonight I just would like to harness my brother, keep him close to the podium here. Eric, would you come here now, brother?
Did y'all see what I had to put up with?
Man, no, come here. George Warren, he told me to do this. Come here.
Hey, man. I like to move too much.
Hey, I'm man. Playing. You
That's
be free.
Boy.
You
Amen.
Be free.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Eric Indian, y'all.
Amen. Y'all lift up Jesus. Amen. 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 You know, that song just said, "Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide." Man, I could just see God just yeah. That's the kind of God we serve. We can just crawl up in His arms. Man, I don't know about y'all. I need that some days. Some days I need just a daddy. You know what I mean? Seriously, someday I need a savior. And some days I need him to be Lord, but some days I just need him to be daddy. Yeah, I just need to crawl up in his arms. And that's the amazing thing about God. He's all that and more. Amen? And that's what's amazing about him. I can adjust this, y'all, if you don't mind real quick. It was either like this for Brad. Did it work? Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about a blind man. I talked about a blind man a while back. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there's five accounts of Jesus healing blind people in the Gospels. And one is in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus heals two blind men. And they cry out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus responds to their cry with a question. And he says this, "Do you believe I can do this?" There's another account in John chapter 9 where a child was born blind and they question Jesus and say, "Who sinned, him or his father, that this man would be born blind?" And Jesus' response was, "Neither, but for the glory of God to be revealed in his life." And then there's another account in Matthew 20 of two blind men that just in total desperation cry out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus calls them and he heals them. And then in Mark chapter 10, we got blind Bartimaeus. And I preached on blind Bartimaeus a while back. And how he was the son of Timaeus and he was sitting on the roadside begging in a place of complete brokenness. In desperation, he cried out to Jesus from that place. And God stopped what he was doing. George, go ahead and answer your phone. All right. That wasn't your phone, George. But you thought it was. That's what's so bad. You thought it was. That's what happens when you get old, buddy. But... this one story I want to talk about tonight is in Mark chapter 8, and it's different than all the other stories. It's got its own uniqueness. And I think the reason there's five different encounters of blind people in the Bible, because there's five different ways that God establishes a relationship with these people. And each of us in our own life, in our own way, God was unique in the way that he dealt with us. None of us can say that God dealt with us exactly the same way as the other one. God deals with us the way that we can relate to him. So they're all unique in their own way. So tonight I want to look at this one. And if you turn to the book of Mark chapter 8, it's only four verses. So we're going to read this. And if I had to give a title to this sermon, it'd be called, "Turn on the Light, It's Dark in Here." Turn on the light, it's dark in here. Amen. Y'all ready? All right. It says, "And they came to Bethsaida, And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him and Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people, and they look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw clearly everything. And then Jesus sent him home saying, "Do not go back to the village." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. Lord, thank you for the worship. Thank you for your word. Lord God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the worship tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you inhabit the praises of your people. By faith, Lord God, I believe that you're in this place, Lord God. I believe you're here. As a matter of fact, I believe you're in us. You're not only in us, but you're around us. You're before us. You're behind us. You're beside us. Lord God, I pray you open our eyes to see you tonight. Open up our ears to hear you tonight and open up our heart to receive you tonight, Lord God. Lord, as I say this all the time, but we need you. God, we need your presence. Lord, we need you to speak to your sheep tonight, Lord God. God, speak to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all the prayer requests tonight. We thank you for the answer in advance, Lord God. Matter of fact, we thank you and praise you for them answers. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing with New Beginnings Community Church, Lord God. We thank you that you're always on the move. You're always at work. Even when we can't see you, Lord God, you're at work. And Father, we thank you for this, Lord God. Lord, I pray you give me the words. Father God, I pray that you just speak through this vessel of mine, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says that, and they came to Bethsaida. And I just want to talk about Bethsaida for a minute. Bethsaida was a small village, but Bethsaida was the home of Peter, Andrew, and Philip. It was their home. But Bethsaida is also known in the Bible for something else. Does anybody know what it was known for? Good, because I'm going to tell you. Jesus rebuked the village or town of Bethsaida. In the Gospels, Jesus rebuked it. And he said, "Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago." So Jesus rebuked the village for their unbelief and their unrepentant heart. And that's what they're known for a place of being a place of unbelief and unrepentant hearts. So Jesus comes to this village, and he comes to this village, and some people, it says some people, brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to touch him. This one is different than all the others. You know why? Because this man didn't even ask for himself. Matter of fact, he was probably at a place where he couldn't even ask for himself anymore. Y'all ever been to that place where you just give up and you can't even ask for yourself anymore? You can't even ask for yourself anymore. And this man was at that place, but there were some people that were willing to stand in the gap for him and believed enough in God that God had enough power to touch this man's life. And they went to Jesus. They brought the man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to touch the man. Man, isn't that our job? Isn't that our job? God's given everybody in here an assignment. And you know what our assignment is? To bring people to Jesus. And we're to ask Jesus to touch their lives. That's our job as Christians. The Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sometimes the best way we can preach for somebody is to ask God, God, touch their life. I know I'm here today because when I was in my addiction and my mess, I was covered in prayer by my mom and dad. My mom and dad used to go beg Jesus, please do something with this boy. Please do something with this boy. We can't do nothing. We're powerless to change him. Please do something. How many of y'all went there and said, man, God, please do something with my husband? I ain't even married yet, and she's already saying it. God, please do something with this man. Please help him. How many husbands said, God, please do something with my wife? Amen. I got to look out for us. Amen. The Bible tells us that we're to pray for one another. That's what it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, pray for one another because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our job is to intercede for other people. Because I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing beyond God's reach. There's nobody too lost. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this scripture out of 2 Timothy and just let the word minister to your heart. But God spoke this to me today, and man, I was just like, man, Lord, I had to get on my knees and repent. I had to get on my knees and say, God, forgive me, because I have failed miserably in this. I have failed miserably. 2 Timothy, I'm just going to read it. Y'all ain't got to go there. So I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all listen to this word. It says, I urge you then, first and foremost. In other words, number one thing Paul says to do here, that request, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Paul was telling Timothy, above all else, Timothy, I want you to be praying for other people. I want you to start praying for others, that God would touch them the way that God has touched you. You know what happens when we pray for others? It's an act of love. It's an act of love. It gets me out of me and helps me focus on Him and somebody else. And when I get out of me and focus on God and other people, God starts to move in my life. I know I'm in trouble when I pray and it's all about me. I know my focus is totally wrong. And it happens to me sometimes. I'll get up from my knees and I ain't pray for nobody but me. And I'm like, oh man, that was not good. I better get back down there again. Since I've been engaged, I've learned to pray for Karen a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I get in trouble every time I come up here. No, I'm just playing. But listen to what this says. He says, I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Now listen to what this says. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. He said, this is good. And this pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If I want to please God, pray for others. Just said it right there. I didn't say it. This word said this. This is what God said, and God don't lie. He said, when I start to intercede for others and I take others to God, so really, whenever I'm praying for others, I'm bringing them to Jesus. I'm laying them at Jesus' feet. Say, Jesus, you got the answer. I don't. But it says it pleases God. It pleases God. How many of y'all want to please God? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So whenever I'm praying for others, I'm operating in faith because I'm believing that God can do something for them. And God is pleased. Because I'm getting out of me. And I'm focusing on Him and somebody else. And God is pleased with that. I don't even know why I'm going to say this, but I'm going to ask y'all to do this. I'm going to challenge y'all. I'm going to preach again in 2 weeks. Find 5 people you can pray for. 5 people. In the next 2 weeks, pray for those people. And I guarantee you, you'll watch God do something in their life. And you'll know God answered a prayer. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for others. Amen. You know, we have prayer here at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we pray for people. Amen. I'm not most faithful because my work schedule doesn't allow me to come. But God opens, Brad opens the doors here so we can come intercede for others. Amen. We're called to pray. So anyway, let me get back. It says this, that they brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged Jesus to touch him. Then it turns around and says this. It's not up there anymore. All right. Margaret done fell asleep on me back there. Amen. You awake, Margaret? Amen. Okay. It says they begged Jesus to touch him. It says, and they took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. Let me tell you something. In response to these people's prayer, God took the man by the hand and he led him outside the village. You know what the first thing God did? He got him out of that place that he was in. He got him out of that place of doubt and unbelief. And he led him out of the village. When I was studying this today, you know what was amazing about it? The man was still blind. He didn't even know who's had his hand. He didn't know who was leading him the whole way. How many of us can look back in our life and God led us and we never knew it was God? And then when we get back and we look at it and say, man, that was the hand of God the whole time. That was the hand of God the whole time. You know, I never forget, I was on one of my many vacations I took. I never forget, I was down in Beeville, Texas. And this was the last vacation I ever took or ever will take, amen? Just need to say that, amen? But I was on this vacation, and I was working for the chaplain down there. And I was learning administrative stuff about ministry, you know? And it was good. I mean, not that it was good, but the situation I was in for the circumstance I was in, the circumstance was good for the situation I was in. I was able to minister to people. God was on the move. I was watching people get saved. And then all of a sudden, one night, they called me in the middle of the night and told me, pack up, you're moving. And I was like, man, where am I going? I don't want to leave. Because I knew I wasn't going home yet. And I was in a good spot. And they said, no, you're leaving. You ain't got a choice. So I left. Lo and behold, I didn't know what God was on. God was on the move, but I didn't even know it was his hand. And God turned around and brought me right here outside of Angleton, 10 miles from my mom, where she could come see me. And then COVID hit. And they shut down all volunteers from coming in. And the chaplain came to me and he said, look, we don't have no volunteers. We need someone to lead service. Would you do it? And for the next year and a half of my life, I didn't do nothing but minister the word. You know what God was doing? God was preparing me for this right here. But I didn't see God's hand at the time. Sometimes God's leading us. We don't even know it's God. That's where trust and faith come in. That God, I don't know what you're doing. What's that song? I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I'm going to trust you. What's the scripture say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Amen. Sometimes we don't even know it's God and it's God. Sure, y'all can all look back on your life and say, man, that was God. The key is when you don't know is can we trust that he's in control no matter what? That God's in control no matter what. So it says he took him by the hand. He led him outside the village. So he got him out of that place of unbelief and doubt. And he took him outside the village. And this is amazing right here. This next part it blew me away. What was the next thing Jesus does? He spits on the man. Come on, Jesus. Seriously, Jesus? He spit on the man. I'd be like, what's up? He spits on the man. He spit. That's what it says. He spit on the man. Man, it said he spit on him and then he touched him and he said, do you see anything? Man, I thought about this long and hard today. He spit, he touched, he spoke. Isn't that what God does, though? He spit on him. He humbled him. And then he touched him. And then he started to speak to him. Isn't that what God does with us? He humbles us. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's got to humble us before he can do anything with us. Pride and self got to be broken. So God humbles us. And then he touches our lives. And then he starts to speak into our lives. He humbled them. He touched them. And he spoke to them. And he said, "Do you see anything yet?" And the man, what did the man say? He said, "I see people. And they look like trees." Boy, I got stuck right here. I ain't gonna lie. I couldn't get off this today. I spent about an hour trying to figure this one out. Holy Ghost, what you saying here? People and trees, people and trees, people and trees. And all I can think of, we should be called oaks of righteousness. Says that in Isaiah. We should be called oaks of righteousness. And I sat there and thought about it. People and trees, people and trees, people and trees. God, what are you saying here? Because there's a reason why the man seen people and trees. There's a reason why it's in there. Finally, God spoke to me and said, "Man, you're going way too deep on this one, Eric. Chill out, dude. Yeah, slow down, grasshopper. You're going way too deep on this one." And God spoke to me. He said, "If the man knew what a tree looked like, and the man knew what people look like, what's that tell you?" And I was like, that the man hadn't always been blind. At one time in the life, the man could see because he knew what a tree looked like and he knew what people looked like. But somewhere along the way, he lost his sight and he ended up in a place called Bethesda. Y'all gonna catch this in a minute. How many of us have been going along good and somehow we lose sight of what's important and we end up back at a place called Bethesda? In church, they call it backsliding. In recovery, they call it relapsing. But what happens is somewhere along the way, we lost sight of what was important. And we ended up back at a place of unbelief and unrepentance. And then Jesus has got to take us by the hand and lead us back out of there. Somewhere along the way. And I know, look, ain't no Jesus in here, so we know we've all experienced this before. I don't know one Christian, except maybe Brad. No, I ain't going to say that. He done tell his testimony. But sometimes in our walk, we lose sight of what's really important. Right now, man, work is crazy for me. And it was easy some days for me to lose sight of what's important. I could start chasing that dollar bill because I ain't never had no dollar bills. And I'm starting from ground floor. I don't own a home. Never owned a home. And one day I'd like to own a home. So for me, it's sometimes my mind is like, I got to go get it. I got to bail hay. Well, it's available, right? But I can lose focus of what's really important. And before I know it, I'm back at a place that I don't want to be no more. And then I start to allow other things back into my life that I said I never would. Because I lost sight of what really was important. Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. So it says that they touched the man. He said, "What do you see?" He said, I see people and they look like trees. And Jesus said, "Well, that's the best you're getting, buddy. See you later." That ain't what Jesus said. What'd Jesus do? He said he touched him once more. Bam. Well, I read that and I was like, man. Man, I got saved when I was 24 years old. I heard God call my name, and I heard an audible voice say, Eric. And I got up and looked around, didn't see nobody, laid my head back down. He said, Eric. Went back to sleep. Next morning, I woke up, read the scripture, said, I called my sheep by name. October 1991 was when God called me. And I'm going to tell you something, God's had to touch me numerous times since then. Do you know why? Because he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. God's going to keep touching us and keep touching us until the work he's doing in us is complete. He doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up on us. Amen. Say it again. Say it louder, Sue. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That we're the clay. God's just shaping and molding us. But he said he touched him one more time. And it said, and the man, once more he put his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were open. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. You know what Jesus did? He opened up his eyes so he could start to see reality. And then he restored him. And he started to help him see clearly. And then he said something to him. He said, don't go back to the village. In other words, I've restored you. Don't go back to that place I brought you up out of. That's a message within itself. Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God's trying to bring us out of somewhere, and when he brings us out, he warns us, don't go back. At least something worse happens. That's a message, but that's not even the message I want to talk about tonight. So, let me ask you a question. When you can't see, what do? Matter of fact, Brad, do me a favor. Turn the lights off real quick, will you? Turn them all off. All of them. Turn them all off. Can y'all see? What do we got to do to see? Turn on the lights, Brad. Turn the lights on. So if you want to see clearly, what do you got to do? You got to turn on the light. Amen? So I'm going to talk tonight about, that was a warm-up what I just did. Amen? I want to let y'all know, I just get to the message right now. Amen? I'm just telling you, I am. I'm going to get serious now. Amen? Amen? But I want to talk about seeing clearly. See, because the whole point was Jesus wanted the man to see clearly. He didn't want to give him partial healing. He wanted to open his eyes, restore him, but he also wanted him to see clearly. And the only way that we're ever going to see clearly is if there's light involved. That's why Jesus said these words in John 8. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Listen to what Jesus said. So I'm going to talk about four ways we see clearly, and I got 11 minutes to do it. Right, Brad? That's my boy back there. I love Brad. Amen. We got a great pastor, don't we? Amen. We got a great pastor. John, listen to what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says. Listen to this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said these words, I am the light of the world. Jesus did not say, I am a light. He said, I am the light. I am the one that truly gives light. And he said, not only am I the light in the Christian's life, but I'm the light of the world. I'm the true light in this world. The word world, we know, means it's a system that's separated from God and under the influence of the evil one. That's what the word cosmos means. Jesus, I'm the light in that dark place. I'm the light. So if you want to see clearly, you got to come to me. You got to come to me if you want to see clearly. He says, I am the light. And then he turns around and says, listen to what he says. Listen to this promise. He says, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. If I want to see clearly, I got to start to follow Jesus. So how do I follow Jesus? I'm going to talk about four ways real quick. How do I follow Jesus? Number one is through prayer. I got to learn to pray. You know, how many know God's got a phone number? Anybody know God's phone number? What is it? 33:3, Jeremiah 33:3. You know what it says? It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you things that you know not. God says, call me and I'll answer. Amen. What's that song? I sought the Lord, he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God. Come on, Kathy, help a brother out up here. Help a brother out up here, man. You know I'm not even trying out for the praise and worship team. Gary Myers can tell you I don't need to. Amen. I cannot sing, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Amen. James says these words, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all without finding fault. So you know what that means to me? That if I don't know and I ask God, God's not going to find me at fault because I don't know. If I don't know, I don't know. Really, when I don't ask God because I don't know, but I'm afraid to ask because I don't know, that's really pride. And God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Therefore, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. The first thing, if I want to see clearly, I got to go to God. I got to call on Jesus. You know, 12-step programs are awesome. They're good. They help a lot of people. But when it came down to me dying or living, I called on Jesus. And God intervened in my life in a way that was miraculous. Jesus says, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. I told y'all the story of the lady with the sign. My life was in shambles. And a lady was begging for money in Houston. Those that haven't heard are those that are old. I'm going to tell it again. Talking to you, George. I was on the corner of Barker Cypress and I-10. And I was watching a lady ask for money. And she had a sign in her hand. And one thing was different about this lady. She was well-dressed. She was clean. And she had her back to me. And she was walking up to cars and showing this sign. And nobody was giving her no money. And I'm trying to hope the light turns before she heads my way, because I didn't have no money. I'm thinking, lady, I need some money. And she turned and here she comes. I'm like, oh, man. And she come up to me and all of a sudden just lifted that sign up. And you know what it said? Jesus is the answer. That's what it said. Jesus is the answer. My life was in a wreck. And God was telling me, I'm the answer. Marriage problems, Jesus is the answer. Addiction problems, Jesus is the answer. Financial problems, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He always has been and he always will be. Jesus is the answer. First step to see clearly is we got to call on Jesus. Second step, read your scripture. Psalms 119. 119, 105, and 130. I just want to read them to y'all real quick. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 130 says these words. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The second thing we need, if we're going to see clearly, we need God's word. We need God's word. We want understanding. We want direction. It's all right here. It's all right here. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. Y'all say that with me. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Y'all know my good friend Sally Bailey? Nobody knows her. She came all the way from Michigan. Yeah, Brad, look over here, another Yankee in the house. Yeah, there you go. Pastor's from New Jersey. I've known Sally forever, man. And she went to Michigan from Texas, was there a little while, and realized I better get back to Texas. Amen. You know what she told me? I said, why you come back? It's too cold up there. It's cold, wasn't it? Amen. But if we want to see clearly, is we got to go to God's word. Because God's word gives us instruction. It shows us the right way. You know, man, when God created man in the garden, he placed man in the garden and he told man, he said this. He told him, I want you to take care of this garden. So he gave him a job. And then he turned around and he says, every tree in the garden you can eat freely. But the one in the midst, don't eat lest you die. You know what he gave man? Some guidelines to live his life by. Amen. Man was supposed to live off God's word. God's voice was in the garden. And man was supposed to live. Man's thoughts and beliefs were supposed to be formed from God's word. Ain't changed. The Bible says that we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. God's word will transform our thinking. We need God's word. I don't want to show a hands because I don't want to show my own hand. But how many people watch more Fox News than read the Bible? I know there ain't no CNN. Well, I can say it. Y'all know what I was saying. I'm bad sometimes. I know this, that when I spend time, intentional time, every day in the Word of God, my days go better. You know, God is amazing because God gave me this message last week. And I always want confirmation from God I'm going to preach the right thing. Janice, what was the devotion about the last 3 days? The light. The light. Remember? The light. It was on this scripture, the light. Amen. So, anyway, we need the word. The third thing we need to see clearly, the Bible says this, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. We need other people to bounce things off of because of every time. The Bible says in Proverbs that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. I've had to call Brad. How many times did I call you this week already, Brad? 18. Because I wasn't seeing something clearly. I wasn't seeing clearly, and I knew I wasn't seeing clearly. But I needed someone to help me see. So I called Brad. Brad, this I got this going on, man. I got this going on, Brad. And you know what he did? He helped me see clearly. Because God used him to help me see. The Bible says a man that isolates himself seeks his own will. So in other words, whenever I isolate and I don't get no help from nobody else, my vision gets cleared. It gets foggy. We need counsel in our life. You know, I've realized I can take counsel from someone older than me, and I can take counsel from someone younger than me. And that ought to be good news for a lot of y'all. I love you, George. Yes. It's all right, Bubba. It's all right. I'm just playing. I love my church. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love being here. This is where God had for me to be. And look, y'all are my family. Ain't no doubt about it. I love coming here. I feel welcome. I feel like I'm supposed to be here. You know, and God knew I needed older men in my life. No, I'm being serious on this one. I wasn't joking. I'm serious, though, man. I mean, I needed some older people in my life to help me and to believe in me, you know, and to push me. You know, we need people. If we want to see clearly, we've got to have someone we can bounce some things off of. You know, Brad is my pastor, but he's also my mentor and my friend. You know, we need mentors. We need sponsors. We need someone we can that is a little bit is somewhere we want to get to that can help us get there. We need people. Last and least, if we want to see clearly, we need fellowship. We need other believers. We need wisdom. We need to pray. We need God's word. We need counsel. And last but least, we need fellowship. The Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other all the more as the day approaches. In other words, there's something happens when I get around other believers. Our mutual faith builds each other up. And it helps me start to see again the way I'm supposed to see. You know, Jesus said these words, and I'm going to close with this. I'm on Brad's time now. Jesus said these words. Listen to this. Luke chapter 4. Jesus said these words. He went into the temple on the Sabbath day, and he got up and he unrolled the scroll. And he unrolled it to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to recover sight to those that are blind." Jesus came to preach, he came to heal, and he came to restore. God wants us to see clearly. Amen? He wants us to see clearly. But the first step to see clearly, you got to call on him. You got to call on him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight. God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you desire for us to see clearly, Jesus. But I know the first step to seeing clearly is turning on the light. And Lord, I just want to pray tonight. If there's anyone in this room right now that has never truly surrendered their life to Jesus, that tonight would be the night. Tonight would be the night that said, God, I need you, Jesus. I'm blind and I need to see. I'm lost and I need to be found. If that's you tonight and you know you need Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you know you need Jesus, I see you back there. I see you back there. I see y'all. I see y'all. See y'all. Now I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. I'm going to ask you to stand up and walk up here. Take a step of faith. And let the pastor pray for you. Amen. 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 Now we're going to ask for a second person. If you're here tonight, and somewhere along the way, you don't know when or how, but somehow you've lost sight of what's really important. If you're like this man and you lost sight and ended up in that place called Bethesda, if that's you tonight and you need to reestablish fellowship with God, if you need to see clearly again, if that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you tonight, Father God, for everything you do. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this place, Lord God. I thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you that you never give up on us, God. Lord God, I thank you. God, I pray for relationships right now that need healing. I pray for healing in those relationships. God, I know you want to restore. I know you're in the restoration business, Lord God. So I pray for healing in marriages right now. Lord, I pray you give us eyes to see you. Help us see clearly, Lord God. Help us see clearly, Lord God. One last thing I'm going to ask. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer tonight and you know you do, if you're struggling with something, or if you just want someone to agree with you about something, I'm going to ask you to come forward and let us pray for you tonight. Anybody in here need prayer tonight? Amen. Lord God, I thank you for this message, Lord God. I thank you that you're with us. You never leave us, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 I'm praying with you.